There are few places on earth like a college campus. Different generations, all walks of life, from around the country.
I grew up in LA, but I've always wanted to be a Sooner.
And the world.
I lived in Panama, and now I'm at OU studying creative media production.
Living on campus together, broadening our horizons.
There are ways to think about this that I never thought about before.
Learning, growing, making mistakes.
When it started hailing during our study, I knew that we had miscalculated.
And achieving remarkable things.
I got to help with cancer research, and I'm only an undergrad.
I'm Emily Tackett, and this is Just So, an OU podcast about thought leaders here in the heartland. There's a world of voices on this campus, but there's only one Oklahoma. Today on Just So, we're giving you a behind-the-scenes glimpse into OU social media and web presence. It's no secret that OU's campus is one of the most photogenic in the country. But the identity of the person behind so many of the images you associate with OU may be a mystery. Who's responsible for the cool photography on OU social media, websites, articles, and Flickr album? Today on the show, we're bringing you the man behind the lenses, Mason Drum. Some crucial facts you need to know about Mason ahead of time. Mason loves dinosaurs.
Here's the thing, Emily. There are two kinds of people in this world. Those who want to go back in time to ride a dinosaur, and those who will never amount to anything.
His last name is Drum, and he plays the drums.
That's always the question that I get, especially if they announce my name for any reason. Like back when I was in band, they'd be like, Mason Drum on the drums. And then they'd, of course, ask, did you play the drums?
His career in photography started as a result of an international job and an affinity for travel bags.
I don't know if you know this about me, Emily, but I am a huge bag nerd.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, I love bags.
He's always looking for fresh ways to capture the Sooner experience.
I actually saw a photo one time of myself, and all the photographers on the line had their cameras pointed towards the end zone where a touchdown was happening, but I was pointed the opposite way at the fans.
And he's here with us today to talk about his journey into photography and how he became a photographer for OU.
Really, what's nuts is that I have a job here because at one point I was using social media to like tag a bag company.
Could you introduce yourself and tell us what you do?
Yes. So my name is Mason Drum. I work in web communications, marketing, and new media. And I am a photographer primarily, but I also do video work as well with our video team here at Webcom.
Webcom's office is on Campus Corner above the Chipotle, an unsuspecting workspace for the developers, writers, videographers, and photographers charged with capturing Sooner stories for the university. So can you talk about how you got into photography and eventually became a professional photographer?
Yeah. So my story is really interesting. So I actually graduated from Oklahoma Christian University.
You're not a Sooner?
I am a Sooner. So my wife just graduated from the grad program here. So I'm a Sooner via her. But also, you know, her family did. A lot of people in my family graduated. So I've been in the Sooner family, you know, all my life. But when my wife and I graduated from Oklahoma Christian in 2012, we moved to Japan for 2 years. And at the time, I didn't study photography or film or anything in school. But when I went over there, I thought I needed a camera to take photos of like cool stuff in Japan. Why not, right? And when you're living abroad, everything abroad is a novelty. And so I bought a little camera, once I had that camera, I was taking photos as we were traveling all over the country. My photos started to get a little bit better, a little bit better.
Then a little known affinity changed the trajectory of his life.
I don't know if you know this about me, Emily, but I am a huge bag nerd.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, I love bags. And so there's this one bag company named Tom Benn, and I looked for the best everyday carry bag before I left for Japan. And after tons of research, I found this one bag, and I take it with me everywhere. And at the time, I took it all over Japan, and I would take photos of it as I was out and about, and I would like share my photos on Instagram or Twitter, and I would tag the company at, you know, hashtag Tom Benn or whatever it was at the time. And long story short, the company saw my photos, ended up sending me an email saying, hey, would we be able to get some more of your photos in exchange for free bags? And so I was like, absolutely. And so from there, it became just kind of a hobby to, hey, I kind of have an eye for this. I started looking for jobs in Oklahoma. And I didn't know if I was going to be a teacher when I came back, an elementary school teacher or a photographer. I wasn't putting a lot of eggs in the photography basket just because it's hard to get a full-time photography gig. But Webcom was hiring. I sent my application in along with my website. They saw my work. And then I had an interview 3 days after I landed in America.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So you started picking it up in Japan.
Yes.
And can you tell me a little bit more about your experience in Japan and kind of learning photography there?
Yeah, yeah. So when I was in Japan, my wife and I went over there primarily to teach English in elementary schools, in public elementary schools. And during my off time, I would always bring my camera with me everywhere I go. One of the photographers that I learned a lot from online, his name's Matt Granger, and he has like this phrase, I don't know, it's not a phrase, but his like little, his little blurb on his website is get your gear out. And the idea is just to always have a camera with you, always go shooting. You can only get better. The only way you get better is through just taking photos and taking photos and taking photos and doing it and doing it and doing it and getting off your butt and going to shoot. So fortunately, being in Japan and in a beautiful place like that really encouraged me to get off my butt and to search around and to try to find images wherever I could of people, places, things, nature, whatever it was. And so I think I owe a lot to just the nature of living abroad, to being a huge factor that inspired me to just continue to grow in the art of photography.
Can you tell me a little bit about your philosophy on photography and taking pictures of people and places and how it's translated and evolved from Japan to OU?
Yeah. So when I was in Japan, it was very much like me starting out learning the basics. I remember the camera that I had was what most people would consider today to not be a very good camera. Like our iPhones take better photos and video than the camera that I had at that point. But the good thing about that camera is that I wasn't worrying about the different settings, whether it be aperture or, you know, shutter speed or ISO. I didn't know anything about that at the beginning. I was just focusing on composition and framing. And I think those are the two basic things that you need to keep in mind if you're a want to be a photographer, you just want to take better photos with your iPhone. Keeping in mind the composition and the framing of your subjects is a huge thing that can help make your photos better.
OU has so many people, so many different experiences, and yet similar landmarks and moments throughout the life of a student. Move-in, football season, homecoming, graduation. Capturing the electricity of a homecoming rally may be easy. But how does he push himself to collect fresh photos of the holistic sooner experience?
One of the biggest challenges I face is taking new and interesting photos of the same location every day or on a weekly basis. So I've been here for about 2 years now. I feel like I'm very familiar with the campus. I know what it looks like in certain types of day. I'm just very familiar with it. And so I have to get myself out of the rut of going to the same places during the same times of day or trying to look at, I don't know, it's just a creative challenge to try to find new images of the same thing over and over and over again. And I try not to use the excuse, oh, I've been here for 2 years, so all my images are boring or they're the same. That's not an excuse. Like, there's always going to be more images to find, even if it's at the same location. So it's just a creative challenge to find those images and to do what it takes to get the shot.
When people have never been to campus and they look at your photography, what do you think they see and learn about OU?
You know, obviously they're pictures, so they lend themselves to visuals. So visually, wow, this is a beautiful place. Hopefully, though, through some different projects that we've done, they can see a diversity of student life, a diversity of students themselves, diversity of weather and settings and scenes. So I don't know, I'd like them to see a variety of things. I think the more variety of content I have, the more realistic a student's expectation or view of what OU is can be, because they're seeing more of it.
Can you tell me a little bit about your Say Something project?
Yeah, that was my favorite thing I've done as my favorite photography project, I should say, I've done since I've been here at OU. So for those of you that don't know, the Say Something Project, it was a series of, I think we shot in 2 days on the South Oval, 77 portraits. Here's what it was. So if you go, you can look on our Flickr account, and basically what you'll see is a really close-up headshot, essentially, of a student looking directly into the camera with their own handwriting, words written out across their face. And so we did this through, we had an iPad there. So I'll just explain the setup. It's kind of hard to say unless you're like looking at it. We had a tent. We set it up on the South Oval. And this, for those of you that don't know, South Oval is a very busy part and iconic place on campus. So we went there because we knew that we'd get a lot of foot traffic. Set it up during the during noon. So there's definitely a lot of people coming around after classes. And then we had myself and a few of our interns out saying, hey, you want to be part of like this photography project? And then half the time, they'd be like, "Whoa, what? I'm busy. I got to run off." And it would be really awkward and weird. But occasionally you would get the students go, "Yeah, what's the photography project?" And so that's when I'd say, "Yeah, it's a project where we're doing a portrait series. We want you to say something in 15 words or less, and it can be anything you want about anything at all. And we'd love for you to join us and be a part of it." And so I would take their portrait. And again, it was just a really close up, very intimate photo. Their face fills up the entire frame almost. And then superimposed over their face is on an iPad, they had written down whatever it is that they wanted to say. So it was called the Say Something campaign or project. And again, they could say anything they wanted to. So some of them might have been, "Someday I'll graduate," I remember was one of them, which is kind of humorous. Other of them would be "No ban on stolen land." So there's a mixture of, you know, seriousness, lightheartedness, humor. And it was really interesting to see what these students had to say. And then also, it was the first time that I'd ever seen people's own handwriting imposed over their face of a portrait. So I was kind of proud of that. I thought that was cool. It's definitely inspired a little bit from ads that I've seen. I'm trying to think of the company. I've seen ads that have, you know, you have like the big block words over somebody's face with like different fonts. That looks kind of cool. It was a mixture of seeing those and then also kind of a Humans of New York vibe where you're just kind of asking strangers to share something with you and then putting those two elements together. Anyway, it was fun. It was cool to see what students had to say or what they wanted to say when they were just kind of randomly on the spot.
What inspired you to do the Say Something project? I know you talked about it a little bit.
Yeah, it was I wanted to find a way to show student diversity, but not just like of people's ethnicity or skin color. But the question was like, okay, as a photographer, how do I show diversity, but not via just like showing off the different ethnicities? Cause like, what are the other interesting visual ways to show diversity? And that was probably like the main goal or catalyst behind what drove me to do this. And then from there, I was like, well, being able to visually show people's own words, that idea I was kind of drawn to. And so from that came this idea of, okay, you write down whatever it is you want to say in 15 words or less. And then that mixed with the portrait, which is, you know, the visual thing that I can do, and blend those together. I don't know. That was just kind of a new, interesting way to do that.
Instead of having big impersonal block fonts over their face, let's have their own handwriting.
Exactly. Yeah. And that was kind of cool too, is that you can kind of see the personality even in the handwriting, which was cool. Some people would scribble, some have like beautiful cursive that I could never do, and some of them had chicken scratch like myself, you know. But it was cool because it lent itself to the intimacy and personableness of each portrait. And we plan on doing it next fall too.
Oh, so if you're walking the South Oval.
Yeah, and you're asked to be part of a photo project, don't be weirded out. Just say okay, and you can share with me whatever you want. You don't even have to share it with me, you just write it down.
Do you attribute your success as a photographer to campus being more photogenic than most people?
I don't want to give the location all the credit. I will say that the location does, OU's campus does make my life a little easier. If I was like at OSU or something, or Texas, it would be really difficult to make that look pretty.
It'd be really hard to make it look
good.
Yeah,
it'd just be so hard to make Texas look good. Ugh.
A beautiful campus doesn't make Mason's photos good. They're good because he's always looking at campus culture with a unique eye. How do you go to the same events every year, like football games, and capture fresh perspectives?
Here's the thing. What's interesting about when I go to football games, I'm probably one of the only photographers there that's not interested in taking photos of the athletes. So as a photographer for Webcom, we have a lot of our social media, you know, we have like the main umbrella social media channels, like the at U of Oklahoma, that on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. And what we want to do is show the student experience, which you can go on ESPN, you can go on all the different sports networks and see images of the players. What you can't see is the screaming fans, the cheerleaders, the little kids dressed up as their favorite athletes. The kind of the atmosphere is what I want to capture at those games. So while it's so funny, I actually saw a photo one time of myself, and all the photographers on the line had their cameras pointed towards the end zone where a touchdown was happening, but I was pointed the opposite way at the fans. And I don't know, it seems kind of symbolic of what I'm doing there at the game. So I'm not so concerned about the athletes or the actual game going on, but more about the Sooner experience.
From tagging bags on social media to shooting on the sidelines at OU football games, Mason carved a career out of his passion. Now, Mason's lenses provide a picturesque but accurate window into campus life. Looking to catch the mountaintop experiences, everyday life, and the little moments in between, Mason's photos capture both the obvious and not so obvious Sooner experiences. You can see Mason's images all over OU's official social media, OU's homepage, and OU's Flickr album, or check out his YouTube channel, All About Photography, by YouTubing Mason Drum.
Well, Mason, thanks so much for being here.
Yeah, I had fun. I'm sorry if it was like kind of sporadic. I think Jurassic Park, the good thing about, I love that we're talking about Jurassic Park right now. I'm going to keep steering the whole conversation towards Jurassic Park. Jurassic Park 3, in Jurassic Park 3, there were feathers on the velociraptors, and they still look pretty cool.
I don't really remember that. Maybe like a few feathers, but
yeah, it wasn't a lot.
If it was fully feathered out, I wouldn't feel like it was very intimidating or scary or entertaining at all.
You reminded me of the kid from Jurassic Park that says, "That doesn't look very scary. Looks like a 6-foot turkey."
No, it wasn't sporadic at all.
Thanks for joining us this week, and keep an eye out for more episodes of Just So.